The title of my message this morning, Feeding the Spirit, Denying the Flesh. Often fasting can be undesirable. Who desires to be hungry? Who desires to fast? It's an undesirable thing naturally to a human being because it's not pleasant to our flesh and to our way of life. It's uncomfortable at times, especially when you go to the store and you see all the food around, and especially when you come home and there is ice cream and the children are eating it, and you're watching all of these things and you're just cringing inside. It's not something that naturally has been given to us that we would desire those things to do. But if we are followers of Jesus Christ and we are believers, prayer and fasting, it's a way of life. Prayer and fasting, it's a way of life. Throughout the Bible, there has been many people that fasted and prayed. And it's amazing that we witness and we read the Word of God and we see how God moved on their behalf. It works. Sometimes we might wonder, does it work? Yes, it does. Would you try it today, starting tonight with us? Maybe you're visiting here or you're watching online and you might be a guest here. But I want to encourage you to join. We are the one body in Jesus Christ if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. That we will come together and we will say, if you have done it in the Old Testament, if you have done it in the New Testament, you can do it today, O Lord. You can do it today. When I pray and fast and come with a petition before you, would you hear us? We fast and pray to draw near to the Lord. James chapter 4, verse 8 says this, draw near to me, or draw near to God. We understand that it is the love of Jesus Christ that's after us and saves us. We are much aware of that it's His grace that we are saved by, that we did not sought Him, but He sought us and He has found us. And so often we can get a little bit complicated when we walk with the Lord, that we think that everything is up to the Lord, which in reality is true because He's a sovereign God. But after salvation, there are a few things that the Bible says, if you do these things, then I will do these things. And so often we say, God, I don't want to do anything. Can you do everything? Can He? Of course. But the Bible says also for me and for you to do some of the things. And one of those things, it says, draw near to God. Draw near to God. How do we do that? When we draw near to Him, we know His heart. In a more intimate way, the closer we are to Him, the more we get to know Him. Sometimes young people, when they get married, they think that they know each other. Let me repeat that. They think, say with me, think. Think. They think they know each other. They're confident that they know each other. Without a shadow of a doubt, they know that they know that they know that they know each other. And the moment the ceremony is over, they find something new. The moment the second day comes, another news. And the moment they live life, every day, there's something new to be found about each other. And that's the only way that can be done is to stay close to each other and to allow each other to get to know each other. We spend life together because every day it's a new day from the Lord. We grow, we learn, we mature. And the way we get to know each other by spending time together. But if you don't want to get to know each other, then live in separate rooms, live in separate homes, don't talk, don't eat together, don't spend time at a dinner table, and you will only know that you know that you know how you thought you know each other the day you got married. But if we want to get to know each other more, there must be a drawing near to each other. And same thing the Lord is teaching us in the book of James, that if me and you, we want to know God, if we want to know His heart in a more intimate way, his desires, his pleasures, his promises towards us, he says, you draw near to me. You draw near to me. And when we draw near to him, we will start praying and we will start fasting and seeking the Lord and understanding his desires, and we will do this according to his will. I don't have this in my notes, but I'll say it. Sometimes we have a little bit warped understanding of prayer and fasting. We think that if we pray and fast, we will get our way. Are you with me with that one? We think of an idea. We have created a picture in our mind. And we want so badly that we're willing to fast and pray for a few days just to get to the result that we want. And ultimately, or often, it has nothing to do with the heart of God, but everything to do with our flesh and what we want. Is there something wrong with that? I don't know. We'll talk later maybe about that. But whenever when we draw near to the Lord, we learn his heart. We learn his desires. And when we petition before him in prayer and fasting, we then agree with him. We walk in accordance with him. Prayer and fasting, it's not a moment to change God's mind, but it's a moment for us to change, to become more like him, and for us to agree and to witness what he's doing in our life. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this, and without faith, you might think, what does faith have to do with prayer and fasting? I thought that we have to pray and fasting because we're lacking faith. But over here it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God. So the second thing, what we do when we draw near to him, we must believe. We must have faith in our hearts when we draw near to him. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever will draw near to God must, say must with me, must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. There is conditions. There is conditions that over here in the book of Hebrews, the author is reminding us, the first one, we draw near to the Lord, we must have faith in our heart that he exists, that he hears us, that he cares for us, that when we draw near to him, that he's not a dead God, but he resurrected another day. He's a living God. And when we come and petition before him, he's a living God. He exists. He's the creator of the universe. He's the creator of me and you. He hears us. And in different words, we come with confidence in his presence because we have faith in him. And when we do that, there is a reward for us. How do we draw near to him? Before I talk about the reward, how do me and you draw near to him? First, it's by faith. In the scripture, it says, by faith, believing in his existence. One of the other things is by prayer. When we come in prayer, because if God did not exist, there was no point of praying. Do you know that even non-believers pray? We think that only we pray as born-again believers, but non-believers pray as well. Last year, whenever on the field, when one of the football players, his heart stopped, people start praying. And I can imagine that there were many people that were not believers. But in moments like that, people start praying because it is instinct in us and understanding that there's a higher power, and it's Jesus Christ. Another way of how we get closer to him and how do we draw near to him is by reading the Word of God. Oh, I want to be so close to you, Jesus, but your word, can you reveal it to me? You revealed it to the other people. You revealed it to the prophets. They wrote it. Can you just reveal it to me? I'm just going to wait for you. Just reveal it to me. No, he says, your word is a lamp to my feet. Yes, it's a guidance. It's a GPS for us. If we travel, why do we put the address and we follow the GPS if we're so smart? If we know everything, if we know how to get places. No, we rely upon technology. How much more me and you, when we pray and draw near to the Lord, one of the ways how we get to know him and draw near to him is by reading the word of God. That's why it's so important, as we're doing as a church this year, to read through the word of God, through the whole Bible in 1 year. And that's what we're going to do next year again. So if you did not have the opportunity to join us, first of all, it's not too late. You don't have to wait till the New Year's to make this New Year's resolution that will never happen. But you can start today. You can go home and start today, tonight. Amen? Another way is by fasting. When we fast, we put our flesh under submission. We're denying our flesh the things that we might want, and we, for a season, are petitioning for a certain thing that we are agreeing with the word of God and believing for the Lord to move. Amen? Walking in his commandments. Oh, we're in a new covenant. We don't have no commandments, really. God did not change the Ten Commandments. He just made it harder for us to fulfill them. But he gives us the power and the strength to do that. Amen? And the new commandments, he says, that he gave us is to love our Lord and God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and our neighbor as ourselves. Listen, if we can do all of those things, it says all the commandments are done. It's fulfilled in those two things. Sometimes we want to fulfill hundreds of them. Can we just do two for now? Can we just do two for now? But walk in his commandments. And how do we know his commandments? By reading the word of God. Amen? Loving each other. Loving each other. You mean smiling to each other? Sure, but more than that, loving each other. It's loving each other. It's choosing to love despite of our feelings. The word diligent over here, where it says that he is a rewarder for those that diligently seek him, the word diligent means persevering attention, constant effort. You mean as a believer, didn't Jesus do everything? Yes, he did. But now it's our part too, to grow in Christianity, to grow as a believer. Constant effort, persistence. And it's amazing, I began to think about that woman that was treated unjustly, and Jesus is sharing the story, this parable. And he says, if this woman who has been treated unjustly has been coming to this evil king, because she was persistent, the king granted her desire. Praise be to God for persistence that we are to have in our hearts when we come before the Lord. In other words, when you draw near to God, you don't just do so occasionally, once in a while, Sunday morning or Wednesday night. You don't do once in a while or whenever the mood strikes you to feel like it. We are moody people. My mood can be good today. God, I draw near to you. My mood is super good. God, I don't need you. My mood is bad. Oh, God, can you show up right now, please, in this moment? And sometimes we're moved by our feelings and by moods, but no. Persistence, it's a constant attitude of a believer that we do that continually every day of our lives, and that becomes part of our lifestyle. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. And you might ask, what is the result of these things? Because so far, this doesn't sound so great for my flesh. What is the result of these things? And he says, there is a reward for those who do these things. The reward is God will draw near to you. Because this is what he says, the second part of that verse that I read, draw near to me. And then he says, and, say with me, and. And God now responds and says, I will draw near to you. God, can't you put, God will draw near to me, and then as a result, I'll draw near to you. Could God do that? Couldn't he wrote that in the passage of the Bible, of the page? He could have. No, but he says, if you're a believer now, I did everything for you to be saved. But now for you to grow in the salvation, for you to grow spiritually, you must do things. And you must draw near to me. And as a result, I will draw near to you. It talks to me about communion. friendship and closeness. It talks to me that there is no secrecy. It talks to me of the depth of a relationship that cannot be separated. It talks to me about the riches that God is offering to us. Can you imagine? One step we take towards the Lord, and the Lord is taking 10 steps towards us because he cares for us. He does not put all the burden on us. He just says, move an inch and I will move a mile. That's what he's saying. Move a little bit with all the strength that you have and I will meet you where you are because I love you and I care for you. And when you draw near to me, I promise that I will draw near to you. There is a promise from the Lord when we draw near to him in prayer and fasting. It's a commandment that he will fulfill, that he will draw near to us. We also fast and pray for the ongoing work of the Lord. It's not to get our way. It's not to say, God, whatever what I want, but in different words to say, God, let your will be done. Let your work go forward. And when I fast and pray, I'm not interested in my agenda, but I want to be part of what you're doing here on this earth. And I want to talk about a man by the name of Nehemiah. There was an example, and there's so many other names that we can talk about, but for today, we're going to stick with Nehemiah. Is that okay with you? You see, Nehemiah was born in the exile of Judah. He served as a cupbearer for the most powerful king during that time of Persia, king of Persia. The city of Nehemiah's forefathers is more than 1,000 miles away. It's not something like in Hershey and you can drive there and take a look at it, but it's far off. There is no technology. There is no way to look and watch the news. Everything takes more time to find out. And during this season, Nehemiah has never seen the city with his own eyes because he was born to a captive people in a foreign land. And he began to hear things that people were talking. But Nehemiah heard many stories of the city's former beauty. He heard many stories of the city's former glory. He heard many stories how they were sharing of the fame of Jerusalem and the city that was so beautiful, and that touched his heart because that was the place where God walked. That was the place where the blessing of the Lord was. The report came to him that the walls of once loved city are gone. The walls are broken down, the gates are burned, and the people living there are in great distress and reproach. And this is the message that is coming to Nehemiah. Can you imagine if this message was coming to us of a city that is about 1,000 miles away from us? We have no control. We're in exile. And we're just serving the king. And somehow God has given us favor to live. And we hear of our loved ones, of the promises of the Lord that once was in a city and now is destruction. Now there is emptiness and void. Things are burning, people are running away, and more than that, people are living in great distress and reproach. How would we respond to that as believers? Would that touch our heart? Let me take a step further. There are still nations in the world that believers are being persecuted, that believers are being imprisoned and killed. What is our response when we hear these things living in the United States of America? How is our response toward those things that we are hearing what's happening in another nations? Are we still responding in prayer? God Almighty, how would you use my life to be the answer to the cry of the nations? How would you use my wallet to be a blessing for those that are in need? God, how would you use my family to be an impact on one family? How would you do that, Lord? I'm reminded of how United States was a huge blessing in the former Soviet Union. The gospel came because of missionaries from United States. But more and more, I see the trickling and is not as much influence in that capacity. We've lost something that we have had among us as a nation. When we love the Lord so much that we were not just living for ourselves in this nation, but we were leaving things behind and going to other nations to share this gospel. And Nehemiah is hearing all of these things that are going on about Jerusalem. The news that came to him was heartbreaking. And this news, he did not say forget about them, but they were hunting him day and night. He would think about the things that he has heard. Maybe he's going to sleep and he's thinking about the things that he has heard. He's waking up and he's serving the king, but his face and his actions are saying a bigger story that he is hurting inside because he saw something bigger. He began to see something bigger than just what he was doing. And what was bothering him is the state that the people and the nation of Israel was finding themselves in. Somehow he began to believe God. Lord, you are powerful. You are mighty. You can do more things. You can change the circumstances and you can change Jerusalem. You can change and you can rebuild the walls. Nehemiah heard the news and he did not say, I'm 1,000 miles away. I can't do nothing about it. No, but he began to do something. He began to do something. The dilemma that he was facing, he had to face it head on and not to say, let other people deal with that. But how do I respond? How do I respond? I heard this news. What is my responsibility? And now, if you can turn with me to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, and this was his response. When he heard all of these things, he turned to the Lord for guidance. Nehemiah chapter 1, the second verse of 2 and down. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in a great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burning with fire. So he heard all of these things. So now this is what he's talking about, his response to these things. So it was when I heard, say with me, heard. So it was when Nehemiah heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before God of heaven. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. Please let your ear be attentive to my prayers and your eyes be open that you may hear the prayers of your servant, which I pray before you now. Day and night for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess their sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you, and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinance which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me, you see, again, there's a condition, but if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest parts of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there, hallelujah, and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Verse 10, now these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. Oh Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayers of your servant and to the prayers of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servants prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." This was the prayer of a man that he responded to a need when he heard the need. God began to move in the heart of Nehemiah, and as a result, Nehemiah was weeping. As a result, Nehemiah was mourning. He was fasting and he was praying. And in my conclusion now, I want to talk about the day we live in today. What is our result when we hear things about this nation? What is our result, as I mentioned already, when we hear things about our brothers and sisters that are suffering? What is our result when we watch the news and there's so much hate there? What is our result when we watch a documentary about a situation around the world or here in America? What is my result and your result? How do we respond to these things? Do we just click it off and move on? Are we so numb now to the pain of the world that it does not compel us to have a cry and anguish in our heart for the things of God? Not too long ago, people have been going to Kensington, Philadelphia, and they've been videotaping some of the things that are going on the streets of Philadelphia. It's only 2 hours away from us. What is my result as I was watching those videos and seeing those people look like zombies almost? What is my result? What is my response to that? Do I just shut it off and move on? But let me tell you, my heart was gripped with pain. My heart was gripped with fear. My heart was gripped with a cry, "Lord, Lord, if you don't do something, I can't do anything." I'm hearing reports of this young generation being on drugs. I'm hearing reports that now alcohol is just a social thing in the families. The next thing you know, they're addicted to things. They're addicted to pills. There's a whole generation that is flirting with all of these things that leads them to destruction. What is my response to those things? What is my response to those things? Is my response just to move on, or is my response, it's like Nehemiah? "Oh, God, baptize me with weeping. Baptize me with mourning. Baptize me with the strength to fast and to pray and to believe for the impossible." Because if we come with that kind of a heart, the desire of the Lord is to set the captives free. And when we come with prayer and fasting in that capacity, we are agreeing with Him. We are agreeing with the Lord. We're not seeking our own. But we're saying, "God, I want to agree with you. I'm agreeing with your heart. You came to give sight to the blind. And right now I'm crying out to you. Would you open the eyes to those in Kensington, Philadelphia? Would you baptize the streets with your power of the Holy Spirit? Would you send your anointing power again in the streets of Philly, in the streets of the United States and around the world? God, I don't have the power and the strength to go physically maybe there. But I want to start at a place where I can weep when I hear those stories. Would you baptize me with anguish that my heart will beat for what is yours? God, would you lead me in a place where I will cry out to you in my prayer closet? Would you give me a response that He will lead me to prayer, not to anger when I watch the news? Because sometimes we're led to act in flesh and we're led to act in rioting. No, this is not the journey that the Lord has called me and you. But the first response, when we hear all of these things as Jeremiah was hearing, the first response is, "I'm going to weep. I'm going to mourn. I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray and I'm going to believe you, Lord, for the impossible." And in this moment, God is calling Nehemiah. Now I'm gonna use you to go and rebuild the walls. I'm gonna give you a vision how to impact the generation that is dying. I'm gonna give you a word in season. I'm gonna give you words that you're gonna be talking with kings and rulers. I'm gonna give you a vision what to do. Why? Because you chose not to just hear and close your ears to the news of destruction, but you have responded in prayer, you have responded in fasting, you have responded in weeping, and you have responded in mourning. Why? Because it's our nation, it's in decline. Our nation is in decline. And let me tell you this. Don't think that if we're not going to pray and fast today, that we're just going to live our lives and never do that. Sooner or later, we will still do that, but it might be a little bit too late.